Bruce mentioned about the golf tournament yesterday, and so we were sitting there at the golf tournament, we're just, you know, getting ready to tee off, and I said, "How did you world did you pick this passage for me to read?" And I told him I had to go online to the pronunciation website to figure out how to pronounce some of these names in here. But so I did that. He said, "You better practice," and so I did practice. But bear with me, please. The reading is Ruth 1:1 through 17. It's in the Pew Bible on page 238. Please join me as we turn our hearts and minds to the words of our Lord. Got to use the big print. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two Moabite wives, the name of them one Orpah and the name the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard the country of Moab that the Lord had considered him people, given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, and so her two daughters-in-law went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with them and with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you, you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will not return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to the people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, or to turn back from the following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." Let the Lord give us understanding of his holy word.
I feel like we should almost applaud for Mark reading that scripture. Time magazine publishes an annual issue identifying the 100 most influential people in the world. Now, some of their choices are obvious. President Obama and Pope Francis would likely be on any list of the 100 most influential people in the world. And in this election year, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders made the list, not surprising. Now, some of the selections I could have made myself, but others had me scratching my head. Under the category of pioneers, they chose this guy, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Some of you have heard of him, probably most of you have not. He's the creator of the smash Broadway musical Hamilton. He wrote it, he stars in it. His musical has won 16 Tony Award nominations. Well, fair enough, pioneer. Another pioneer is Caitlyn Jenner. I probably don't have to make any comment about that. Under the category of titans, they identify Tim Cook, who's the CEO of Apple. And you probably remember that Apple has been in the news a lot lately regarding the FBI and privacy issues. Another pioneer they identified is Katie Ledecky. You probably know that she's a swimmer, an Olympic swimmer from this area. Set all kinds of records. Among the artists they identified, I didn't know a lot of them. I recognized two actresses, Melissa McCarthy and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Leaders included Vladimir Putin of Russia and Angela Merkel of Germany, as well as President Obama. Icons included the rapper Nicki Minaj, and the Olympic runner from Jamaica, Usain Bolt. Now, I've mentioned the names of some people I recognized, and there are a lot of names of folks I didn't know at all. Had to read about it, find out where the most influential, according to the editors of Time magazine. I suppose that if we were to make our own lists of most influential people, we could probably come up with some names of our own, people who've been influential in our lives. As I said before, my grandmother was a most influential person for me. I realized how influential she was last Monday when I thought, today is May 2nd. That's her birthday. If she were still living, she would have been 120 years old. She's been gone 32 years. But I still thought about her on her birthday. Another influential person for me was my pastor when I was in college and seminary, pastor of my home church, a minister named Dr. John Claypool. He was probably the best preacher I've ever heard. And I think subconsciously I try to model my preaching after his, but in no way could I measure up to the standard that he set. Most influential people can have a profound effect upon our lives. In our scripture for this morning, Naomi was a most influential person for her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Tragically, Naomi was a woman acquainted with grief, well acquainted with grief. She had suffered the loss of her husband and her two sons. Now, in that age, a woman without a husband or sons to take care of her was especially vulnerable. Naomi had no one to take care of her. And so she made the decision to return from the country of Moab to her home country of Judah, to the town of Bethlehem, hoping that her own people would have compassion on her and take her in. Her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, wanted to go with Naomi to Bethlehem. Now that says a lot about Naomi, and it says a lot about Orpah and Ruth. From a legal standpoint, these two widowed young women had no legal obligation toward their mother-in-law. Naomi recognized that, and she urged the two young women to return to their own homes, to their own people, to their own mothers, in the hopes that they might find new husbands among their own people of Moab. It is a telling development that both daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, wanted to go with their mother-in-law, Naomi, rather than to return to their own home and to their own mothers. As I thought about it, I wondered what daughter-in-law would choose her mother-in-law over her own mother. I mean, that's very unusual. I think this indicates the kind of people that Naomi and her daughters-in-law were. They had developed such a close relationship that the two younger women did not want to leave the older woman. Now, eventually, Orpah agreed to heed Naomi's pleading and to go back to her own mother. But it was not an easy decision for Orpah. With much weeping, Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye and reluctantly returned to her home of origin. But Ruth refused to leave her mother-in-law's side. Naomi said to Ruth, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so, and even more to me, if even death parts me from you." It is one of the most profound declarations of love and commitment in the Bible. "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth was so committed to Naomi that she refused to leave her. Clearly, Naomi had become a most influential person in Ruth's life. Well, for many of us, our mothers have been most influential people in our lives. My mother, now age 92, is still a most influential person in my life. And I'm happy to say that she's also a most influential person in Linda's life, my wife, Linda. Last fall, Linda took my mother with her to California to visit our granddaughter, my mother's great-granddaughter. And upon their return from California to back to Texas, unfortunately, my mother came down with a serious illness, turned out to be pneumonia. Well, Linda was due to come back to Maryland, but she canceled her trip back home to stay with my mother, got my mother admitted to the hospital, stayed the whole time she was in the hospital, made sure that when she was discharged from the hospital, she'd be taken care of in the nursing care unit of the continuing care facility where she lived. We praise God that my mother is doing better, much better now. She's almost back to full strength. And Linda is going back to Texas this next week just to check on her, to be with her, just to have some fun together. That says a lot about their relationship. Well, how is it that daughters-in-law and mothers-in-law can develop just a close and loving relationship like Ruth and Naomi? Well, I think it begins with a deep respect for each other and a genuine desire for the well-being of the other person. Ruth wanted the best for Naomi, and Naomi wanted the best for Ruth. I think if all family members would have that kind of attitude, wanting the best for each other, they could overcome many of the obstacles that keep families from being as close as they would want them to be. You know, Mother's Day is a day to honor our own mothers, whether they are still with us or whether they are with us in memory. But it's also a time to rededicate ourselves to our families and to making our families all that they can be. A harmonious family life doesn't just happen automatically. It takes effort and commitment and devotion and love. It takes making family a priority. And we see that kind of effort and commitment and devotion and love reflected in Ruth and Naomi. Ruth was willing to put Naomi's needs ahead of her own needs. And that's why Ruth refused to leave Naomi, even after Naomi released Ruth from any further obligation and told her to go back home. Ruth was so concerned about her mother-in-law that she refused to leave her side. And by the same token, Naomi sought to put Ruth's needs ahead of her own needs. That's why Naomi told Ruth, "You go back to your mother." I'm sure it must have been a scary thought for Naomi to think about going back home by herself, traveling as a vulnerable widow back to her own home. But Naomi figured that Ruth's mother could provide for her better than she could. And so she told Ruth, "Please go back home." In both cases, these women, their primary concern was not for themselves, but for the other person. And I think that's the key to all close and loving relationships, putting the needs of the other person ahead of our own needs. Now, this works only if both people do it. If it's one-sided, it won't work. If one person does all the giving and the other person does all the taking, then the relationship can become abusive. But where there is a mutuality and where there is giving and taking on the part of both people, it can become a beautiful thing. I've got a Mother's Day story for you. True story. Kelly McKissick of Plano, Texas, and her husband have been trying to have a baby for a long time. After years of infertility treatments and miscarriages, they were about to give up their dream of having a child. They didn't know what else they could do. But then last spring, Kelly's mother, 54-year-old Tracy Thompson, made an astonishing offer. 54-year-old Tracy Thompson offered to become a surrogate for Kelly and her husband. Despite being 7 years past menopause, Tracy endured a series of hormone treatments to prepare her uterus for the embryo transfer. It was a high-risk pregnancy, but Tracy became pregnant last April. She said the second trimester of her pregnancy was not that bad, but the first and the third trimesters, they were tougher than she had ever imagined. Now, Tracy had given birth twice before, but she was much younger then. She was willing to endure risk becoming pregnant at her age for the sake of her daughter and son-in-law. Tracy saw it as simply seizing the opportunity that God had given them. It was the ultimate labor of love. Well, this past January, during an emergency C-section at a hospital in Plano, Tracy Thompson gave birth to her own granddaughter. The parents named the healthy baby girl Kelsey, a combination of the mother's name Kelly and the grandmother's name Tracy. The baby, her mother, and her grandmother are all doing well. Kelly said of her mother, "No one could give a greater gift." Well, our mothers have given us a great gift, the gift of life. If our mothers are still with us, we can give them our gratitude and our love. If our mothers are no longer with us, we can honor their memories by giving of ourselves to those around us. Ruth and Naomi gave of themselves to each other out of love. They were more than daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. They were family. They were there for each other, no matter what. And that's what God wants our families to be. Our Father in heaven wants us to be there for each other, no matter what. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. It's all about giving ourselves to each other out of love. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what Jesus wants us to do for each other. Our Father, we thank you for the gift of families. We thank you for people who love us and people whom we can love. We thank you for the relationship that can become so close and loving that we are there for each other no matter what. We thank you for that story of Ruth and Naomi, for their commitment to each other. And we thank you for the story about Jesus, who loved us so much that he gave himself for us. Help us, our Father, to love each other too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing a closing hymn. And we offer you the opportunity to commit your life to Christ, to unite with our church. If you've never publicly accepted Jesus as your Savior and followed him as a believer in baptism, we give you that opportunity to make that commitment today. Or maybe you've been a Christian for some time, but you're not a part of our church family. You'd want to unite with us. We'd welcome that decision as well. We'd invite you to come to the front of the sanctuary and share that with me as we stand together and sing our closing hymn. Hymn is number 687, Would You Bless Our Homes and Families.